It's time to hear the truth, unfiltered. It's Sean Salisbury, unfiltered. He's played football, baseball, and basketball. He played pro football for 10 years, and he's been a broadcaster for 12 years. Now he takes it to the internet radio airwaves. Get ready for sports talk like you've never heard before. Now, here's Sean Salisbury.
Good Monday morning to you. Oh my gosh, Mondays are so awesome. And you know, I know when football's over, Mondays are still going to be great. Because then it's spring training and all kinds of stuff and basketball in the heart of the season. But right now we got football and a lot of it and so much to hit. Let me start this off by the Hall of Fame nominees were announced for the National Football League. You know how I feel about the baseball voters. But we got the nominees announced. And I don't know if I'm going to spend too much time on that today. I don't think I will. Because that's not the players aren't voted on until Super Bowl week. There's some interesting names on there. I think there's some shocking names on there, but I also think there's some names on there that people think are going to get in and aren't. That's the way it goes. So I don't think I'm going to hit a whole lot of that today when it comes to talking about that, because we'll save another day for that. There's too much football to break down. And I got a message from a friend of mine that says there's a server error, and this friend's from in the Kansas City or Nashville area. Was in Kansas, I think Nashville. So there's no broadcast, so and no links are working. And I got that same message, so I'm just sending that out to my people behind the scenes here. I got that same message from Chicago last Thursday and Friday. So there's a server error for Voice America, so if you could check on that for them. Nashville, Chicago, a couple other places, maybe possibly check Kansas City. I'd really appreciate it. So everybody get a chance to hear this. So we won't talk a lot about the Hall of Fame today. We'll save that for a specific day because that'll take a couple hours. There's a few things going on in my mind that sports-wise, that we're going to hit hard today. Obviously, the games, contracts, trade talk, all these things. You know, Kevin Cobb, now they're talking about trading him. Folks out there that think that because Michael Vick had an average game yesterday that something's wrong, he's not going anywhere. But there's a few non-sports related things that I just have to get off. Well, they're sports related, but a couple of them. One is, you know what makes me laugh? Here I'm in Dallas, and you get a couple inches of snow, and they close schools for this. There can be no bigger pussy town for everything's bigger in Texas. I mean, for a tough town and a bunch of tough guys, there can be no bigger pussy town when it comes to weather than this town. Now, maybe you guys feel the same thing in your part of the country. I know, heck, I grew up in California. When something like this happened, freeways just kept going, everybody went. In this town, it got snow yesterday. It quit snowing at 5 o'clock yesterday at the latest. The grounds are, other than the grass where there's snow, perfectly clear. And this shed, there's people don't have to go to school today. You think the ISDs are looking for a reason not to put them in? Come on now, folks. Come on. Texas, you're supposed to be tougher than this, but I've seen it. I've lived here six and a half years now, and it's the same thing. Get a little snow, and drivers start to trip out, and there's rain, and it trips out. Come on, get off the pussy stand and get going. Let's go. Goodness gracious. Are you kidding me? Closed schools. You know what? The kids may love the snow day. If you're doing it for the kids' snow day, just say it so they can hang out and have some fun. I get that part. But all this does, they get a snow day, then they got to extend their school season for another day or so. This probably won't be the last snow day. Snow's a little bit. Man, when I played in Minnesota, you could get 23 inches on Halloween. And the next day, they're on the freeways going to school, and then no problems. So places like Green, you know, in Wisconsin and Minnesota and New York, kudos to you guys. Chicago, been in all those cities. Bad weather hits. You guys just keep on keeping on. Here in Texas, it's supposed to be tough and hard nosed. Are you kidding me? Couldn't be any more softer. Couldn't be any more soft when it snows. So I just had to get that out of my system. Another thing, which is to me, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat. I don't care if you're white or black. I don't care if you're Mexican or you disagree or Asian. I don't care what you are. And I don't care what you think about the Constitution of the United States or fair trials. You know, it's a waste of taxpayer dollars. What went on in Arizona this past weekend is absolutely... The U.S. Representative Gabrielle Giffords, the assassination attempt on her, federal judge dying, a 9-year-old child dying, You don't have to have a child for you to know how much that affects you. You can't even let your kid go down the street on a corner without worrying about getting shot and killed. This is a sports show, and I'm going to get to sports. But you know what? This also affects the very fabric of everything we're about. And you know what? I'm going to say it, and I could care less what if any of you got a problem with it. I'm an eye for an eye guy. And I don't want any of the hardcore, because I'm a Christian God believer and Christian to the fullest extent. Whether you like that I say bullshit once in a while, sorry. But I can tell you this. When eyewitnesses see, and you got notes saying the guy was an assassination tip and he prepared for it, I won't even mention his name. He doesn't deserve the credit. It's like when a streaker goes on the field, the cameras get off him because that's what he wants. I'm not giving this clown the credit, okay? But I can tell you this. He doesn't deserve a trial. He doesn't deserve a trial. Does not. You either, and I don't know what's better. Eye for an eye, stick him in a chair and put a bullet in his temple for what he did. Or you stick him in a maximum security prison, not locked up where he's safe and he's in solitary and he's by himself in the prison yard. You stick him in with the hardened criminals so the guy's dead in 6 weeks. Ooh, Sean's mean and insensitive. I don't care if God's sitting next to you right now and say, well, you know what, you got to be able to forgive. You know what, I forgive a lot of things, not when you put a premeditated shot to somebody's head. No, sorry, folks, don't do it. Eye for an eye. Old school, this wouldn't have happened. Matter of fact, I'm not quite sure where the security was and why he wasn't filled with 35 bullets in his system. That being said, no, he doesn't deserve to go waste your taxpayer dollars and mine sitting in a courtroom and having some clown lawyer representing him saying, you know what, the guy's insane. Well, of course he's insane. Who isn't insane that gets a gun and goes haywire on a bunch of people on a street corner? Republican, Democrat, I could care less. I'm ashamed. It's sick. So please don't call me up and say, the guy deserves a fair trial. That's what we do in the United States. No, it isn't. Our justice system sucks, okay? Guy can get thrown in jail for smoking a joint for 2 years, and I don't smoke. Somebody can go kill somebody drunk driving and be out in the street 6 months later. So please don't talk to me about voluntary and involuntary crap. Okay? The guy doesn't deserve a fair trial. You got to either lock him up and throw away the key, or you just get rid of him. See, my idea is you stick him in and let the fear of God be in him with all these hardened criminals who don't like 9-year-olds being killed. Just stick him in there. He'll be dead in 6 weeks, folks. We don't even have to mess with somebody pulling the doggone lever on him or lethal injection. Whatever it is that they decide to do, stick him in there. Stick him in there and let that happen. We'll never hear from him again. And it disgusts me and hurts me. And not only the congresswoman and the U.S. representative, Mrs. Giffords and her family and this 9-year-old and a federal judge and anybody involved. Guy doesn't deserve a fair trial, folks. So you can save that holier-than-thou, self-righteous bullshit for somebody who's buying it. Because do I believe in capital punishment? You damn right I do. Twice. How's that? We give a guy 3 life sentences. I don't know how you give a guy 160 years and think he's going to live. But we give a guy 3 life sentences, so I got a good idea. Let's not only put him to death, but let's do it twice. How's that? Guy doesn't deserve a fair trial. It's a waste. Our justice system is so screwed up anyway. Please don't give me the self-righteous crap, folks, that this guy, oh, maybe he's insane or he was raised wrong. Yeah, well, he's 22. Learn how to make your own decisions. We all screw up. Not that bad. So we'll get off that, but he doesn't deserve a fair trial. Eyewitnesses know it, handwritten notes. We're going to waste everybody's time. If you're not going to just get it over with now. So sports. I find it fascinating, and God bless those families in Arizona and anybody that's going through that suffering. It's terrible, terrible. I got children, and like I said, you don't have to have children. And the family of this woman, I don't care what her beliefs were politically. Don't care. Don't care. God bless them all and hope that everything turns out. And God rest, I mean, I pity this guy's, the pity of the guy who did it, and I won't call him by his name. Doesn't deserve it. I find it fascinating. Michael Vick has an MVP season. How many people, when he struggles and they lose, and he struggled, he didn't play a great game, I find it fascinating how many people revert right back to the karma and the rest of it. The hatred for Michael Vick, and I understand the hatred, but they blamed his struggles on that. Find it fascinating. Folks, Michael Vick ain't going anywhere. Hell of a football player. Whether you hate him or not for what he did, we've said it a million times on this. You got to respect the man's play on the field to come back. He got beat by a better football team and a better quarterback. Sorry, Philadelphia. He did. Aaron Rodgers is a better player. Aaron Rodgers proved again yesterday why he belongs in the Pro Bowl and why Aaron Rodgers should garner MVP votes. And I'm not so sure it's too far. I mean, Brady's the clear-cut winner. But if you don't put Aaron Rodgers, who got snubbed the Pro Bowl, in your top three or four MVP candidates, then you're clueless about football. And the voters are ignorant. 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 And Michael Vick's going to get a huge payday. But Aaron Rodgers was special. So let's start this thing, and we'll talk about this. We got to break down the BCS. And by the way, folks, anybody who thinks there's another MVP candidate in this league but Brady, when it comes right down to clear cut, if he doesn't get every first place vote, then the voters are just as clueless as sometimes I think they are. The Jets will be coming to town, and they got a chance to prove it again. But this is a regular season award. Let's start with the first game over the weekend, and we're going to hit that. We got coaching possibilities. John Fox is obviously going to interview with Denver. I love how Les Miles, the coach, say, no, not interested, not interested. There's a reason why University of Michigan has not hired their head football coach yet. And nobody talks about Carolina. Who are they going to hire? There's a reason the University of Michigan hasn't hired. The whispers of John Gruden. Again, no Mike Leach talk at all. And then now Les Miles, who was teammates with David Brandon, the CEO, when they were at Michigan. And no offense, I'm sorry, Wolverine fans, because I love the Wolverines. And I love the tradition, the big house, all that. And I understand going to where you played, you want to be a part of it. I would not leave LSU for the Michigan job. I would not leave LSU for the Michigan job. Sorry, would not do it. There's only a few programs in the country you'd leave LSU for. Now, I understand he went to Michigan, Midwest, and Les Miles wants to go coach at his alma mater. I understand all that. It's like me, it'd be like me going to coaching at USC instead of, you know, coaching at Oregon. I get it. Or take it out of SC instead of somewhere like Wisconsin. At a conference, I mean, he's leaving conference if he goes. And if Michigan makes him the right offer, he will leave. Les Miles will. There's something sneaky about Les Miles. Good football coach. Something sneaky about him. You know what's funny? And they call him the Mad Hatter. I'm not sure I trust him very much. Good football coach. There's something that's slithering about him. There just is. But I understand if his buddy's the athletic director, and Michigan offers a job. I don't blame a guy for going. I'm just talking about on better programs. I wouldn't leave LSU for that program. I just wouldn't. As good as Michigan is. And it's a hell of a program. If Nick Saban, I would never leave Alabama. There's not five better jobs in the whole United States in any sport than head coach at Alabama. Football town people love you. LSU is almost in the same category. They're going to be in the national title hunt every year, going to get great recruits. There's no better place to play. Fans are amazing. You're the only show in Baton Rouge and the only show in New Orleans for the most part other than the Saints, for the most part. You're it. Michigan, same way. Michigan, matter of fact, I know you got the Detroit Lions and they're coming on in basketball, but LSU, it's a better football team. Year in and year out, it's a better team. I don't know when Michigan's going to be in the national title hunt again. Because if Les Miles goes there, they got to change everything around. Whoever gets the job at Michigan is going to have to change everything around again after Rich Rod's crazy, crazy offense. And I like Rich, but that's more off the charts than a spread offense that you'd put in a passing game. This is a running spread. The whole recruiting thing, there are going to be guys that are going to leave that school in 2 seconds flat because they don't fit in. So they're so far behind schedule. They're not even a top five team in the Big Ten right now. So why Les Miles would leave the challenge, I guess, is because that's where he played. You want job security? LSU's pretty damn secure. LSU's pretty secure. The The most underrated coach that took an ass kicking in football this year is John Fox, folks. I think John Fox is one of the better all-around coaches we have in the league. But as I've always said, don't place too much importance on the coaching thing, because you know what? No players, coach gets fired. Good players, coach stays. Great players, coach stays as long as he wants. There's a reason why Carolina got rid of John, wanted to change the rest, but I got news for you. If Carolina would have been smart, they would have got rid of about three-quarters of their roster and started fresh from scratch and kept John Fox. If John Elway wants a really good coach in Denver, John Fox is the guy to get, and they will be an instant playoff contender if they get the right personnel. There's been talk that John is not a big fan, just the rumors, not a big fan of Tim Tebow. Does Tebow get traded and end up somewhere else? Tebow went to a team like Minnesota. He starts tomorrow. You guys are going to be shocked. Tebow can play, folks. I'm telling you. I'll take a winner over a guy that may look good in a uniform throwing the ball down the field on a regular basis. But John Fox, obviously you got to win, and eventually when you don't win, they got to replace you. But I'm going to tell you what. Somebody asked me on Facebook, who are the best coaches available? Well, Dungy, but it doesn't sound like Tony's even interested in coming back right now. Brian Billick and John Fox. This is over and above Bill Cowher and John Gruden. He said, other than those two, which we are obvious, who are the next ones in line? And I think of all the coaches fired, I'm not sure John Fox isn't as good as any of them. And you may not think I know what I'm talking about, but when it comes to that, I do. And I know what he's about, and I know the respect that he has in this league. Sucky players equal coach get fired. You got to replace quarterbacks. You got to replace a whole bunch of people on that roster. More coaching talk. Will Les Miles, if they offer it, you know damn well he's leaving LSU, which leaves an unbelievable job available. Incredible job available at LSU. People stand in line for that job. Guy like Bobby Petrino, who I'm not real fond of, he'd probably leave Arkansas tomorrow to go take that job. Leave his players hanging. What a great job if Miles leaves. Good gracious. LSU, whoever gets that job, call me. I'll come coach your quarterbacks, and I won't look back at any job. Be gone tomorrow. We're going to talk playoffs. Wow, Seattle. You got a chance at possibly, with another back-to-back performance like this weekend, you could actually be hosting the NFC Championship game. We're going to talk about the NFL and the games and why these teams lost and why quarterback and special teams are important. In every single game, for the most part, it all happened. Coming right back, this is Sean Salisbury. We're Voice America Sports. We're unfiltered, and you are too with your calls and your emails. Right back in just 2 minutes.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
The Sports Mavericks Show redefines the elite athlete by bridging the gap between parents, athletes, and the community. Host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, brings to the Voice America Network original programming, balancing the pursuit of academic excellence and sports participation. The Sports Mavericks Show airs every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Listeners will be engaged in straightforward talk, spontaneous and unscripted, by the experts. Ida and her guests will explore the challenges of success and failure in sports and will help athletes and their parents navigate the transition from high school, college, and then on to the pros. We put fun back into sports and recognize role models in sports through our Sports Mavericks All-Star Award Program. Tune in Tuesday evenings at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Ida Moyer and the Sports Mavericks Show right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Get ready to talk sports. with someone who definitely has an opinion, but respects yours as well. The beginning of every week is Crunch Time with Keenan Howery. We'll talk about what happened this weekend and what to look forward to next weekend. Keenan and his guests are ready to discuss the issues with you about football and sports in general. It's Crunch Time with Keenan Howery, every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Sports Channel. And make your voice heard.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSalz@gmail.com. That's SeanSalz@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
All right. I'll leave this because in case the archives, I apologize deeply to people all over the country that can't get to our website or access archives or any of it. I hope I'm not just talking to a wall and there's four people listening. So we had problems with it last week. We'll try to fix it this week. Try to fix it now. So if the archives come up, just take it. Apologize for what's going on. I know it's happening all over the country. Don't know who's listening, but when you do listen, take our apologies for it. They're working on it, trying to get it fixed. It's irritating as all hell. Trust me, I get it. I'm going to waste my good shit on nobody that's listening and then have to repeat it to the people that actually are, if there's a few of you that are. So trying to get it fixed. So, you know, those that are out there, if you have a friend that can't listen and you're listening, please post it up there that we're trying to get the thing fixed. So I appreciate it. We got a lot to talk about, but first we got a couple people hanging on the line. Let's get out to D-Man in Arizona. I think we got him up now. D-Man, how you doing? This is just a cluster of crap, so come on and tell me what you got going on, buddy.
Well, check it out. You're going to talk about the Seattle Seahawks, so you're talking about a cluster right now. You know, Seattle's got the NFL all discombobulated, but I'll tell you this. Do you think Seattle wins that game if it's in New Orleans?
Seattle's one of the worst road teams in football, no. But you know what? I'm going to tell you, I put it this way. I don't think Seattle would have played that well in New Orleans. It makes sense.
Right.
I don't think they would have had that same rhythm or that same spirit and that same energy. I think it would have been different, yes. But I'll tell you what, any time a quarterback has to throw 60 times, and when you got another quarterback who comes off being injured the week before and plays as good, if not the best quarterback of the weekend, with the energy. Remember I said last week, D-Man, and you heard me say, I said the big X factor is one, is two of them, if Seattle can, even though they got down 10-0, as long as they can hang in the first half and keep it close, they'll start to believe that they can win. And the second one is the fans. And the fans went haywire, as always, the loudest stadium around. And then what Seattle did is they started to believe, and I guess always did, that they could win.
Mm-hmm.
And New Orleans started to say, oh, my gosh. And when you looked at it, Seattle was able to throw it, run it, and New Orleans couldn't do squat with it running the football. They put it on Drew Brees' shoulders, and it wasn't enough. And as good as what Brees threw for four Bills and 60 times, rarely are you going to throw 60 times and win a game. Rarely ever going to happen. Once you hit that 50 mark, look at the stats. There was only a couple, two or three times, I think, this year where a guy's thrown it 50 times, and they were able to win. So it's rarely going to happen. But I was so impressed. And you know what? Anybody out there other than a few Seahawks fans who prayed that it was going to happen, even the diehard Seahawks fans, it was false enthusiasm and it worked for them. But nobody believed that this was going to happen.
No.
Nobody.
No.
Nobody believed it was going to happen. But the Seahawks players somehow believed it was going to happen. And they were able to pull it off in an unbelievable fashion. Now, does lightning strike twice? Can they do this same thing on the road against, what, Atlanta? No, where do they go? They go to they'll be playing in Chicago, right?
Right, they go to Chicago.
Yeah, Green Bay goes
to Atlanta. I don't see it.
I mean, I don't know if they can pull it off. They played Chicago earlier this year, good, but I don't know if they can catch lightning in a bottle twice. But I'm gonna tell you what, for the time being, they played their ass off this past weekend.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's easy. That was an easy game for them to get up for. I mean, if you think about it, you had the entire nation, except for those in Seattle, but the entire nation, they just counted them out. They were horrible. You're horrible. You're horrible. So I guess if NFL players and professional athletes, if they get challenged like that, and they get challenged at home, and they get challenged with that 12th man that they obviously have in Seattle, there you have it. I mean, that was an easy game for them to get up for.
D-Man, there's no question. And you know what? Just a quick report, by the way, that there's a huge trade that's going to send Billups, Hamilton, Williams, White, and Anthony to the New Jersey Nets. The Nuggets get Favors, Devin Harris, Morrow, Roth, Graham, Uzo, and two first-round picks. And the Pistons get Murphy and Johan Petro. That's the reported proposed three-team trade. Now, hasn't gone down yet. But there's full rosters changing hands with the Nets and the Nuggets if that happens. So let's get back to football. We'll keep you abreast if that actually does happen. But getting Billups and Carmelo, if you're in the Nets, boy, you're doing somersaults. But back to this, D-Man, you're right. What did Seattle have to lose? Everybody in the world expected them to lose. They went out there and played great. They've already, and you know, what would you expect from a 7-9 team? I mean, I don't want to hear one Seattle fan or one Seattle player talk about they were disrespected. They earned the disrespect going into the playoffs. They earned it at 7-9. Now they've got some respect back by the way they played lights out with that energy. But going into this playoff game, I don't want to hear, well, we were disrespected. You were disrespected because you sucked during the regular season. And you played your best football game at the right time. And as I said on Friday, it's like the NCAA tournament. You only got to win a couple and get hot for a couple. You may not be the best team. It's the hottest team who plays the best with the hottest quarterback that's going to get you where you're going. And that'll bear out in some of these other games we talk about.
Right. Okay, so we've talked about the Packers going to the Super Bowl. I think both of us have the Packers heading that way. Big game for them. Rodgers, gosh, this, you're talking about a guy that just keeps on doing it. Quietly, doesn't stir the pot, doesn't come out and say, me, I, look at me, but he just keeps getting it done, doesn't he?
Yeah, you know, D-Man, you know how I felt about him all year long. I believe he's going to win the MVP at some point in his career, maybe more than one. I do believe he's going to don a Super Bowl ring at some point because this is a team that, and you know what was impressive? How about Starks running for 100-plus yards, a rookie that's been you know, on the bench and on the sidelines most of the year? A huge difference. Not only Aaron Rodgers played lights out, but they ran the football far better than LeSean McCoy's Philadelphia team did. Then you've got a great quarterback who protects the football and throws with accuracy and is a great leader, and you're exactly right. Not a chest-pounding, nonsense, look at me, you are exactly right. You're exactly right. And that's what makes them dangerous. And they have the things you got to have. They got a little bit of attitude, but it's quiet attitude. They now ran the ball well. They've got a great pass rush, and I mean they can blitz you. And they've got a great defensive player who can take over a game, more than one. And they've got an unbelievable quarterback. So to me, I don't know how people out there can go by once you get Brady, Manning, Breeze. Maybe you want to throw Big Ben in there eventually, Matt. No offense to Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's not as good as Aaron Rodgers right now. Matt Ryan's where Aaron Rodgers was a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
He's a great player. But you can't put him in the top five yet. But I can damn well tell you, somebody out there want to argue with me over who the top five quarterbacks in the league, you leave Aaron Rodgers out, then you have absolutely no clue about how to judge that position.
Yeah.
Because he's a top five quarterback in the league.
Easily.
And you throw Philip Rivers. My top five would be Roethlisberger, because he's not a great statistical guy, would probably be hanging around six. He knows how to win. But there's no doubt. It's Brady, Manning, Breeze, either way. I don't care how you shuffle the other four. Brady's clearly the best. Manning, Breeze, Rivers, and Rodgers are your next four quarterbacks. Yes, Rodgers is better than Michael Vick. Mike had a great year, but all around, he's a better player. And yes, he's a better player than Ben. He doesn't have it. Ben's had a better supporting cast. And Ben's a winner, but statistically, everything. Rodgers, in my opinion, if you had to start a franchise now, you'd take Rodgers over Roethlisberger. But he is in the top five with Matt Ryan and Roethlisberger hanging around 60. Those two guys are the very next group and not far behind. And you can make the argument for them. But there ain't no way anybody's going to tell me that Aaron Rodgers isn't a top five quarterback and a true bona fide superstar in this league.
You're right. Now, this is uncensored, right?
Dude, no, it's unfiltered.
Unfiltered. Okay.
Yeah. You can. Well, you say whatever you want, man. Just maybe, okay. Maybe you could keep the F bomb and the C word out of it. Other than that, go. Have at it.
All right. This is what was proposed to me yesterday. If my girl's Green Bay Packers make it to the Super Bowl, I will get skull for 24 hours.
Woo! That was your girl said that?
Yes, baby. Yes, doggy. Come on now.
If you can get that for 24 hours, first of all, I gotta give her the Hall of Fame, but if you can handle that for 24 hours, you deserve the same Hall of Fame.
Come on, man. I don't even care at this point, right? You just hang out then at this point.
Dude, at that point, you put your hands behind your head and kick back and enjoy.
That's like it. So I got to have all of your fans. Come on now. We got to root for the Green Bay Packers.
Of course you do. Well, at the beginning of the year, you got my vote. Well, heck, even if you didn't, you'd get it now. Good gracious. If that's being thrown out there on the table for all the cards, because that's truly all the cards on the table, among other things. But
there
I picked the Packers in August to go to the Super Bowl. And that was when Ryan Grant was healthy, but I can't change, so dude, I'm with you. Shoot, have a sandwich and a cigarette when you're done.
Okay, my man.
I appreciate
awesome,
that. I love you. Thank you. We'll catch up later, man.
All right, later.
Okay, appreciate it. Love him. Wow. He wants to know if it's unfiltered. Have at it, bud. What's the worst they got to do? Take your scholarship away because you said something? Take a hand slap it and move on. Wow. Yeah, that's a tough offer to beat when the girl's offering that up. I love her. Do you have any friends? I'm kidding. is Anthony, I'm sure, is holding. So we're going to hold off because I know we're going to go to break in a second. So we'll let Anthony hold, and we'll get him because I know he's got a lot of takes on what's going on in the sports world. But Seattle played spectacular football. Hasselbeck, even with the numbers, clearly outplayed Drew Brees. Excuse me. Seattle can't. So, I mean, New Orleans couldn't run the football. And what did I tell you? Physical beats finesse. The Saints are not, I repeat, are not and have not been a physical team. They got punched smack dab in the face by the Seattle Seahawks, a 7-9 team that hammered them. And when it was 10-0, everybody, including me, was thinking, oh, here goes a blowout. And Seattle decided to fight back and responded, and Matt Hasselbeck played out his rear end. The best decision of the weekend was Pete Carroll's decision to start Hasselbeck over Whitehurst. And Matty, who's been to the Super Bowl, proved it. And this may be his last run, but if he wants to stay in Seattle, keep playing like this, and they'll redo his contract, I assure you that. Great performance by Seattle. Can it continue outdoors in Chicago, on the road, brutal weather, arrested Chicago team? There's something to be said for a wild card team that's hot. And do you realize we could be a week away from saying Seattle's hosting? If Green Bay were able to beat Atlanta, Seattle could actually host the NFC Championship game. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Green Bay's got their work cut out for them. And boy, does Seattle, on Sunday at 1 Eastern, they play in Chicago. Will Chicago be ready? We're coming right back. This is Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
It's all Arizona, all over the world. If you're a local Arizona high school sports fan, or if you're a transplanted fan somewhere else in the world, have we got a show for you. The first internet sports radio talk show focusing solely on high school sports is The Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely. Tune in to talk about your favorite teams, players, or coaches. It's 100% Arizona high school sports coverage and a little bit more. Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern. To the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Get ready to go inside the minds and behind the scenes with the top professional athletes, celebrities, and music entertainers. It's a sports show like no other.
Keeping it real.
Keeping it real with former NFL wide receiver Jairus McIntyre is real talk with in-depth interviews, topical discussions, and a whole lot of comedy. You'll hear from the entertainers, the athletes, and the fans.
Keeping it real.
Keeping it real with Jairus McIntyre is broadcast live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. The IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network. We talk about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and how to get more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk with their combined experience of 60 years in the woods. Brock and Don have traveled widely, creating TV shows and writing articles on hunting and fishing. Blessed with down-home humor, they're also well-versed in environmental concerns, firearms ownership, and animal rights issues. Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific Time to IS Outdoors with Brock Ray and Don Kirk, right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
High school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You're locked in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSalls@gmail.com. That's SeanSalls@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
If you get a chance, post it on your Facebook wall or something. Let your friends know we're working on this to try and get it fixed all over the country to try and get it up so people can hear. Is Anthony there in New York?
You got me? Am I still on?
Yep, you're here, buddy. Sorry about that. Put it this way. It's Monday, kind of a rough Monday for some people, and so glad you're joining us. Can you hear it where you are? I take, or are you just calling because you couldn't hear it?
I called taking a chance that you were on, and you were, but I can't get it.
Okay, well, when you were on hold, could you hear what we were talking about, the Seahawks and what they did and how good Hasselbeck was? Regardless, so we'll repeat it again. Seahawks played out of their mind, and they're far more physical than the Saints. And when you throw it 60 times, Anthony, we've had this conversation about other quarterbacks don't fit. You just can't win. And anybody that talks about, well, the Seahawks were disrespected, no, they earned the disrespect in the regular season, being 7-9. They just picked the perfect time to play their very best football game in 2010, which is now 2011.
Yep.
They picked the very best time. Can they catch lightning in a bottle twice and go to Chicago on Sunday and win? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I give them a little bit better chance because momentum is an amazing thing.
Right.
But we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. So what's on your mind today? Yeah, I'm glad you took a chance, and yes, we are here, even though maybe you, me, and D-Man are the only three that are hearing it. What's going on?
Not too much. I have more reason to root for the Packers now. I have D-Man on my mind. I hope they can pull it off.
How about that? It makes you want to stand on your head and... Well, no pun intended, but and wish that it works out for a lot of different reasons for that couple. Good for him. That'll renew your vows or your love for each other, won't it? what's on your sports mind, man?
Well, actually, you brought up that whole three team trade.
I knew that would get your. Why don't we just change franchises, man?
I remember I read about it over the weekend that it was possible, and now I'm reading more. The only thing that I think is going to stand in the way of that is Billups has already said he doesn't want to play there, and he'll ask them for a buyout because he wants to stay in Denver. And
now, isn't that interesting? Though, if you're in New Jersey, you're going to beg Chauncey, but you might even say, dude, we'll redo your contract.
Right.
We'll give you even more money. We'll give you whatever works under the cap and what we're allowed to do. This will be the best New Jersey. Good gracious, it'll actually awaken people and say, wait a minute, not only are you getting Carmelo, but Billups at the same time?
Right. I think the one thing that's scaring Billups is the fact that, I don't know, what is he, 34, 35 years old
already?
Yeah,
he's in his mid-30s.
Yeah, so I think the thing is, they're not moving to Brooklyn for another 2 years, and I'm going to tell you, Sean, you don't want to play in Jersey. I mean, no one goes to those
games. It's awful facility, isn't it?
What's that?
It's awful facility, too, right?
Well, they moved them over to where the Devils play, the Prudential
Center. That's right, the old one. What was the name of the old one?
The Meadowlands, there was the Izod Center.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was when the Giants, I mean, it was just one of those where nobody wanted to go. It wasn't a good place. You know what I'm saying?
It wasn't
a good place. And that's right, they did move them, but they're moving in, what, 2 years to Brooklyn? Is that what you said?
Well, supposedly it's 2 years. Who knows?
Okay.
They're taking forever here to build the arena.
Billups may be
retired.
Have one more year after that.
Yeah, I mean, so the incentive for him to come here and play in front of 4,000 people, he why would he want to come here?
And when he's in a great sports town like Denver, where he grew up, where his hometown is.
Right, and he already said that he already wants a job in the front office once he retires with the Nuggets.
Right.
So I think I think ESPN's pushing this. I'm hoping the Knicks can jump in at some point to get Anthony because he's already said he wants to play here.
Do you think Phillips would change his mind if it was New York instead of New Jersey and playing in Madison Square Garden?
I absolutely think he would.
Can you imagine that? Now, think about this lineup. I don't know if the Knicks would do it, but let's just assume that the Knicks decided they saw what the Nets were doing, saying, damn, we'll give up. There's only one untouchable on our team.
Right.
And so we'll keep Amare.
Yeah.
But we'll give up half our roster for, a couple first-round picks and Billups and Carmelo.
Right.
Now, you think about that with one of the great leaders. As a matter of fact, I could make the argument that Billups is as good a leader, if not the best leader in the NBA. Not the best player.
Yeah.
But, when you talk about top point guards, somehow he gets left out, but when you need a big shot, he makes it. And one of the great floor directors on the planet and one of the true great leaders. So if you had him running a point for you, and you had Amare getting some scoring relief from two guys that are capable of scoring between 28 and 30 a game every night.
Yep.
And I can argue that Carmelo Anthony, along with my guy in Oklahoma City.
Durant?
Yeah, Kevin Durant.
Yes.
That is the best. Those are the two best, when I say offensive players. Now LeBron, I'm talking about pure offensive scorers.
Right.
They can shoot the jumper, get to the rim, make free throw, all that.
Mm-hmm.
I can make the argument that Carmelo and Durant are the two best in basketball. And that includes Kobe, Wade. I mean, they can get shots anywhere on the floor. They can do all that. And when they get to the free throw line, they make it. So those two guys. So Billups, now doesn't Billups, Stoudemire, and this is just, I know this is wishful thinking for you right now, and Carmelo in New York, and I don't really care who you plug in at the other two positions, doesn't that instantly make them a major threat in the East again for the first time in a long time?
Right. I mean, I think it does it like right away. I mean, do they need Billups right now? I mean, with the way Raymond Felton's playing, probably not. But
again,
Raymond Felton—that's
why the Billups thing. That's why New York would do it. You get a younger version of a guy who's a pretty damn good leader and comes from great, great teaching on the college level, and is actually playing really and is unselfish. You kind of get it. When I say a mini version of Billups, it's kind of what it is.
Yeah, almost.
He's leading. He's not a loud talker. He does his thing. And when you mention the best point guards in the league, Felton doesn't get. He doesn't get any love.
He's
for the most
like
part,
it, though.
And I understand why, but he keeps playing in New York and keeps setting this thing up, and they keep winning. Raymond Felton's going to be a household name in the NBA eventually.
Yeah, he's playing out of his mind, actually.
Sure is.
So I mean, it's wishful thinking, but we'll see what happens. I personally don't think this is going to go through, only because of the two reasons I just said. I can't see Carmelo signing a long term extension and wanting to play in Newark for 2 years, and I can't see Billups wanting to come here.
And Billups. While Carmelo's the main player in the deal, Billups can actually be the main cog in not allowing it to happen.
Right, yeah.
And not allowing it to happen. And that'd be like, you being in New York and all of a sudden somebody in, if you're there, and all of a sudden somebody offers you a contract in some place where you say, oh my gosh, they're an awful team. Or an NFL team, if you're Peyton Manning and all of a sudden the Carolina Panthers want you to come play quarterback, it's one of those, for me, it'd be like, I went to USC, and now all of a sudden I'm going to go play at Occidental College. No, sorry. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, New Jersey. That's basically what it is right now. Now, if Billups and Carmelo showed up, there'd probably be a few more than 4,000 at the arena, at least early on.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, I think that Billups, I wouldn't want to leave my hometown.
Nope.
Where, the second he walks off the court, you'd be crazy not to stick him in the front office or on the bench with you as a coach or a front office guy. You'd be crazy not to.
Mm-hmm. No.
But so I understand why Billups would say, are you out of your mind? Unless you guarantee me when my career is over in New Jersey that I come back and I got a job waiting for me, which they can do. But he got no shot to win an NBA title in New Jersey with or without Carmelo. Sorry.
No.
Ain't happening.
He doesn't.
Ain't happening.
And then getting back to football, I want to talk about Saturday's games more so than yesterday's. Just chiming in on yesterday's, though, Baltimore kind of proved that, kind of showed Kansas City that, you know, Kansas City, while they were a good story, you know, they still need some more playmakers on offense. Their offense kind of relies on tricking you to death. You know, they can kind of beat an undisciplined defense, but, you know, but a team lines up with them and says, all right, you know, bring it, they can't.
And Baltimore lines up with you and says, here's what we do.
Right.
Dare you to stop. And you know, they got the one big play from Jamal Charles, but Bo didn't touch the ball.
Which is, yeah.
Your quarterback can't go for 70 yards and bunt interception. And your best football player on offense, you cannot throw him the football. I mean, if you're going to go down, at least go down with your best player. I don't care how you get it to him.
Yes, exactly.
You got to get it to him. And they didn't do it. And that was just that. That was a beatdown from the start. And the better team won. While Kansas City had a hell of a year, they rely on what we called, you know, these, like you said, trick plays and formations, the dickums. You know, you try to dick a team and screw it. You don't do that to Baltimore, because Baltimore just got to line up and say, really, you try to do that, we'll just hit you in the backfield. We'll knock your quarterback around. We'll give you coverages, and then we'll drive on the ball, and we make plays when the ball hits our hands. And that's what Baltimore does. And then Flacco was efficient. They ran the ball when they needed to, got good field position. And when you, like I said, quarterback can't throw in or say, what, three picks and 70 yards? You couldn't have beat Auburn or Oregon. Kansas City wouldn't have beat Auburn or Oregon on this weekend.
No. That was just awful. I mean, if you look, they even tried a flea flicker early in the game. It didn't work.
Baltimore's too – you know what? You're not going to fool the guys who don't get – I mean, you're talking about a bunch of – when it comes to football IQ.
Yes.
The Baltimore Ravens football IQ on defense is as good as any defense in football.
Exactly.
Period. Any time. I mean, you've got great leaders at, you know, the defensive line, the linebacking position, the secondary. Wherever you go, there's a guy who not only goes to the Pro Bowl, but is smarter than the next guy when it comes to football IQ.
Right.
And they are extremely bright. And if you notice, when do you see those guys? Now, people, you know, Jamal Charles made the run, and that's how you got to beat him, catch him in a blitz or catching him out of their gap. But how often, honestly, Anthony, and you watch football every weekend, how often do you see the Baltimore Ravens beat themselves defensively and be out of position? Now, you may get a play on them, but the mentally, they don't get beat much mentally. They just don't.
No, they don't fall. It's weird because usually the over aggressive types of defenses, you can get them on a reverse every so often.
You do a lot of misdirection because teams that like to run and chase, you can get them, but the Ravens just don't seem to put themselves out of position.
No, they seem to hold their gaps really, really well, and it's just, you know, I don't think, like you said it on the show last week, they're not the 2000 Ravens, but it's, you know, they're still an above average, solid, stay at home, they're not going to beat themselves.
Well, here's the difference between they're not the 2000 Ravens and this one. While the Ravens' defense in 2000 was sick good,
right,
the offense was sick bad, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Aside from Todd Heap, and they really didn't have much. Now, you go to and they ran the football and they protected it, but you go to this team, while their defense isn't as good and a little longer in the tooth,
right,
their offense, as far as with Ray Rice and Flacco and Bolden, and I mean, they're a far better offense.
Oh yeah,
than it's not even close. So what they lack, and they still, I mean, some of those guys are still on this, Ray's still on the team, so they can still dominate you defensively. But the difference is, if the defense has an off game, the offense is good enough to beat you, and they've proven that. So that's a pretty good thing. That's the reason at the beginning of the year. Now, I don't know how anybody beats New England at home if New England's playing their best. But you know what?
Yeah.
You never know what can happen in single elimination. I picked Baltimore and Green Bay in August to win to go.
Right.
Now, after watching Baltimore, you say, well, they got a chance because they're physical, and as long as their quarterback plays good football.
Yes.
If I was a betting man, I'd have to bet New England. But I still got to stick with the picks that I went with. And Baltimore gives you a pretty damn good chance to win with her. And they also, how good Sam Cook, and their special teams, too. That's the great deciding factor. They don't screw up punting it, and their field goal kicker kind of doesn't miss.
No, special teams.
You know, he's going to Pro Bowl. So that's where it comes down. If you're in a three-point game, Baltimore's got a hell of an advantage.
Right, exactly. And then as far as yesterday's game goes, too, I don't know if you watched the game, obviously.
Yep.
But and you brought it up. What has happened to Phil Simms as a commentator? He's kind of – have you noticed, like, there was the one play in the game where Nakamura, where he tried to lateral the ball and fumbled like an idiot, and Simms is saying, what a hit by Jamal Charles, not even bringing up the fact that he was trying to lateral it. Like,
You know what? I can go on. There was one quote that Phil had in the game. Oh, he goes – he said, tall is an awesome talent. Who made the touch? Was it Bolden? Who made the touchdown catch in the back of the end zone that Flacco threw?
Hold on. That was Heap didn't do it, did he?
No, what's that? No, it wasn't Heap. It was a wide receiver, and I can't remember who it was. But he made the point. Maybe it was he. I can't remember who it was. If I look at the numbers, the statistics, I can tell you. But he said, and you know what? I hate to say this because I played against Phil. I know I'm not that old. Believe me, Phil was at the end of his career when I was in the middle of mine.
I like Phil Sims.
You know what? Of course you do. I mean, good gracious. I mean, and if you're a Giants fan and you look for great players and guys who were great leaders, talk about great leaders. Phil was obviously one of the great leaders we've ever had. Let me see here. The touchdown catch. Let me see receiving. Sorry about this. Let's see. Charles.
I should know it. I just.
I'm with you, dude. Believe me. Hoosh Mazada, 1 for 28. Mason, McGahee, Rice, Bolden. Oh, I think it was Anquan Bolden.
Okay, Bolden. Okay.
I think it was Bolden who made the touchdown catch. You know, Heap had 10 catches, but Bolden did have a touchdown catch. But Phil said, being tall is a great talent to have.
Right.
No, being tall is a great blessing, and it's a great advantage.
Right,
over
I got
a smaller DB. It's not a, being tall is not a talent. And
right.
You know what? I hate to say it because I love Phil.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, 5 years ago, I thought he was one of the best game analysts on the planet.
He was.
I mean, he made great points. I mean, he wouldn't have missed names. He wouldn't have missed, Phil's missed like just blatant calls that are, you know, like with referees calls. And he's become Captain Obvious.
Yes.
And Captain Obvious on things that are obvious, but he's become Captain Unobvious because even on obvious calls, Phil's missing him.
Yes.
Like you talk about, the hit and the fumble when he was obviously trying to hand it off. I mean,
right.
It's stuff that I'm thinking, wait a minute, is Phil, is he preparing as hard? Has he lost his focus?
Mm-hmm.
Is he just you know, becoming one dimension? I don't know, but I'm going to tell you this. And you know how some of these online voters, when they go and they still got Phil as one, and Phil and Jim Nantz. I got to tell you, and I like Jim.
Right.
If it was me, I'd put Gus Johnson on the main. But I'm serious. In college basketball, there's no reason for Jim Nantz to be doing the NC2A finals.
No, you're right.
Jim is Jim's like Bob Costas. Great, 18th tower, good interview, soft-spoken, does it all. It's almost you have to fake the enthusiasm. I've known Jim forever, and I've got some respect. He's been broadcaster of the year a number of times, all that.
Right.
But I got news for you. In the NC2A basketball, if Clark Kellogg and if Gus Johnson doesn't get the contract to do the final, I know Nantz is the big hitter.
Yes.
But every player, Gus Johnson should be doing the NC2A Final Four. He is without question energetic. He takes the game. He does what Dick Vitale does for games that you think, well, is this any good? He can take it, and the players actually adjust their game. And you've heard players comment on, well, when Gus is there, that kind of gets them fired up. And
right,
it's the same
exactly.
With football. I don't know. I don't think the Nantz Sims team
is
anything but average anymore. And they Trey, I mean, Sims isn't even in Aikman's league when it comes to game analysts anymore.
No.
And I hate to say it because I do like Phil, but we're talking about the truth, and we're talking about unfiltered facts. And you hit it, man. And I've said this before. I don't enjoy listening to him anymore.
No. Like you said, I don't know if it's just being prepared. You get comfortable in your job and you just don't prepare as well as you used to. I don't know. But
it doesn't matter as much. I don't know. And, you know, Phil's always a preparation fanatic in there. And maybe I'm wrong, or maybe it's just, you know, getting too comfortable. I don't know. But I can tell you this. Phil, I can name 3 or 4 game analysts that are better than Phil right now and at his own network.
Right, exactly. Yeah, on CBS.
At his own network. So it's too bad. And you're right. I mean, it leaves you shaking your head sometimes when you're watching the broadcast.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not even close. Then you go ahead and watch. You go ahead and watch Buck and Aikman do the 4 o'clock game, and it's not even close. The
you listen to Aikman's comments; he doesn't miss much.
No,
he can get enthusiastic.
Right on.
You know, people that aren't Cowboy fans may not like Troy, but if you're looking at it just from sheer game analysis, breaking it down, understanding coverage and how to break it down and teach it,
right?
Aikman, to me, there's not a better guy on NFL football. And that includes, you know, Jaws is Mr. Film Study guy, but just the way with their voice inflection, everything that goes on, I don't see anybody better than Aikman as an analyst on TV. I just don't.
No, you're right.
Herb Street does a great job in college.
College, yeah.
But as far as NFL goes, it's gotten to the point now when you're looking at it how you can say that Aikman, I mean, you know, and I love John Madden.
Okay? Well, of course,
I love John Madden. But you know what? The last 3 years or so of John's career. John didn't tell me anything.
Right.
He was there because he's John Madden, and damn good. I love him. And you love John because he's John. But and he's everybody's butt, you know, just bam. And you know, but when it came to just breaking a game down, he was as captain obvious as there was. Hall of Famer, one of the best of all time. But you know what? It's like a great quarterback. 10 years from now, Peyton Manning is going to be throwing touchdown passes.
Right.
And there comes a point in time that when it's time to move on, and Aikman, in my opinion, is clearly the best analyst on all these games.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Clearly the best. So look ahead, and we'll talk about it more. Just off the top of your head right now, is there a chance that Seattle beats Chicago?
No, none.
None. You think Chicago is see, out of all the playoff teams, Kansas City, obviously, in the AFC was a little bit of a concern.
Right.
You didn't know which team was going to show up, but we saw which team showed up. Seattle was the obvious one that nobody gave a chance to go anywhere, so at least 11 teams you thought had a chance.
Yeah.
So will the Bears, Cutler, is there any – now, would you give Seattle a chance if they were playing at home?
More of a chance, yes. But
you say no way, just too much. They're not going to be able to play that good. There's a reason why they were 7-9 is basically what you're saying.
Yeah, and I just think that, you know, based on the way they played, you know, I just think the Saints, you know, the way they went in there offensively, they were able to put up some points. But then if you look, I mean, I watched them play the previous week versus Tampa Bay, and I chalked up their awful defense to the fact that they weren't playing for much. But obviously, they just weren't that good on defense. Watching the Saints play Saturday, especially in the secondary and tackling, I thought I was watching the Dallas Cowboys. That's exactly what between Darren Sharper, I think it's time for him. When Mike Williams runs by you and a guy who runs a 5-second 40, I think it's time to really wrap it up.
This will be Darren. Well, I mean, obviously the Saints think the same thing because Darren Sharper's coming off the bench now. A guy who led the league in interceptions or something, or had it 2 years ago and had a bunch last year, went right to the bench. So obviously Darren's, and he's had a hell of a career.
Yeah,
but you're right, when you let a 6'5", 235-pound guy who had to make a comeback to get and be reunited with Pete Carroll to get on the field, and he runs by you, it's time. But it's playing pitch and catch. And when somebody compares the secondary of the Dallas Cowboys, you damn well know it's not a good comparison.
No, that's what it reminded me of. It was awful.
You an average quarterback, and then Matt's not a – don't misunderstand me. Matt, he's not an average player. But, I mean, you could take a guy that's a backup. Charlie Whitehurst would have had a pretty good day against those guys. They're not good. And that you know what, for a team that won the Super Bowl last year, and the Colts too, and I'll hit them as we go along.
Right,
the team that won the Super Bowl last year. The truth of the matter is, they weren't even even close to being their same self this year.
No.
And that goes from the quarterback right on down.
Nope, they weren't.
As much as I like Reggie Bush, you know what? Reggie's a good is a great talent. He's a good player. He's never going to be a superstar running back in this league.
No, we spoke about it last week. I said that was the one guy for them to win, had to have a huge game, and he just didn't.
And it was just, you know, Reggie's a good player. But a great talent, good player, and great talent, good player, just, you know what, he doesn't stick out anymore. How's that? Does that make sense?
Perfect sense.
Yep.
Exactly.
Anthony, I appreciate you, buddy. Chime in tomorrow. Always great having you on, my man. Have a good one.
All right, Sean, you too.
I appreciate it. It's Voice America Sports. We are unfiltered. See you tomorrow at 9 Central right here on Voice America Sports. We'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks for tuning in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. We hope you'll come back weekdays at 10 a.m. in the East, 7 a.m. in the West on the Voice America Sports Channel. Take care. Time to hear the truth, unfiltered. It's Sean Salisbury, unfiltered. He's played football, baseball, and basketball. He played pro football for 10 years, and he's been a broadcaster for 12 years. Now he takes it to the internet radio airwaves. Get ready for sports talk like you've never heard before. Now, here's Sean Salisbury.
Good Monday morning to you. Oh, my gosh, Mondays are so awesome. And, you know, I know when football's over, Mondays are still going to be great because then it's spring training and all kinds of stuff and basketball in the heart of the season. But right now we got football and a lot of it and so much to hit. Let me start this off by the Hall of Fame nominees were announced for the National Football League. You know how I feel about the baseball voters. But we got the nominees announced, and I don't know if I'm going to spend too much time on that today. I don't think I will because that's not the players aren't voted on until Super Bowl week. There's some interesting names on there. I think there's some shocking names on there. But I also think
there are some names on there that people think are going to get in and aren't. That's the way it goes. So I don't think I'm going to hit a whole lot of that today when it comes to talking about that, because we'll save another day for that. There's too much football to break down. And I got a message from a friend of mine that says there's a server error, and this friend's from in the Kansas City or Nashville area. Was in Kansas City, I think Nashville. So there's no broadcast, so and no links are working. And I got that same message, so I'm just sending that out to my people behind the scenes here. I got that same message from Chicago last Thursday and Friday. So there's a server error for Voice America, so if you could check on that for them, Nashville, Chicago, a couple other places, maybe possibly check Kansas City, I'd really appreciate it. So everybody get a chance to hear this. So we won't talk a lot about the Hall of Fame today. We'll save that for a specific day because that'll take a couple hours. There's a few things going on in my mind that sports-wise that we're going to hit hard today. Obviously, the games, contracts, trade talk, all these things. You know, Kevin Cobb now, they're talking about trading him. Folks out there that think that because Michael Vick had an average game yesterday that something's wrong, he's not going anywhere. But there's a few non-sports related things that I just have to get off. Well, they're sports related, but a couple of them. One is, you know what makes me laugh? Here I'm in Dallas, and you get a couple inches of snow, and they close schools for this. There can be no bigger pussy town for everything's bigger in Texas. I mean, for a tough town and a bunch of tough guys, there can be no bigger pussy town when it comes to weather than this town. Now, maybe you guys feel the same thing in your part of the country. I know, heck, I grew up in California. When something like this happened, freeways just kept going, everybody went. In this town, it got snow yesterday. It quit snowing at 5 o'clock yesterday at the latest. The grounds are, other than the grass where there's snow, perfectly clear. And this shit, there's people don't have to go to school today. You think the ISDs are looking for a reason not to put them in? Come on now, folks. Come on. Texas, you're supposed to be tougher than this, but I've seen it. I've lived here six and a half years now, and it's the same thing. Get a little snow, and drivers start to trip out, and there's rain, and it trips out. Come on, get off the pussy stand and get going. Let's go. Goodness gracious. Are you kidding me? Closed schools. You know what? The kids may love the snow day. If you're doing it for the kids' snow day, just say it so they can hang out and have some fun. I get that part. But all this does, they get a snow day, then they got to extend their school season for another day or so. This probably won't be the last snow day. Snow's a little bit, man. When I played in Minnesota, you could get 23 inches on Halloween. And the next day, they're on the freeways going to school, and then no problems. So places like Green, you know, in Wisconsin and Minnesota and New York, kudos to you guys. Chicago, been in all those cities. Bad weather hits. You guys just keep on keeping on. Here in Texas, it's supposed to be tough and hard nosed. Are you kidding me? Couldn't be any more softer. Couldn't be any more soft when it snows. So I just had to get that off out of my system. Another thing, which is to me, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat. I don't care if you're white or black. I don't care if you're Mexican or you disagree or Asian. I don't care what you are. And I don't care what you think about the Constitution of the United States or fair trials. You know, it's a waste of taxpayer dollars. What went on in Arizona this past weekend is absolutely... The U.S. Representative Gabrielle Giffords, the assassination attempt on her, federal judge dying, a 9-year-old child dying. You don't have to have a child for you know how much that affects you. You can't even let your kid go down the street on a corner without worrying about getting shot and killed. This is a sports show, and I'm going to get to sports. But you know what? This also affects the very fabric of everything we're about. And you know what, I'm going to say it, and I could care less if any of you got a problem with it. I'm an eye for an eye guy. And I don't want any of the hardcore, because I'm a Christian God believer and Christian to the fullest extent. Whether you like that I say bullshit once in a while, sorry. But I can tell you this. When eyewitnesses see, and you got notes saying the guy was assassination tip and he prepared for it, I won't even mention his name, he doesn't deserve the credit. It's like when a streaker goes on the field, the cameras get off him because that's what he wants. I'm not giving this clown the credit, okay? But I can tell you this. He doesn't deserve a trial. He doesn't deserve a trial. Does not. You either, and I don't know what's better.
eye for an eye, stick him in a chair and put a bullet in his temple for what he did. Or you stick him in a maximum security prison, not locked up where he's safe and he's in solitary and he's by himself in the prison yard. You stick him in with the hardened criminals so the guy's dead in 6 weeks. Ooh, Sean's mean and insensitive. I don't care if God's sitting next to you right now and say, well, you know what, you got to be able to forgive. You know what, I forgive a lot of things, not when you put a premeditated shot to somebody's head. No, sorry, folks, don't do it. Eye for an eye. Old school, this wouldn't have happened. Matter of fact, I'm not quite sure where the security was and why he wasn't filled with 35 bullets in his system. That being said, no, he doesn't deserve to go waste your taxpayer dollars and mine sitting in a courtroom and having some clown lawyer representing him saying, you know what, the guy's insane. Well, of course he's insane. Who isn't insane that gets a gun and goes haywire on a bunch of people on a street corner? Republican, Democrat, I could care less. I'm ashamed. It's sick. So please don't call me up and say, the guy deserves a fair trial. That's what we do in the United States. No, it isn't. Our justice system sucks. Okay? Guy can get thrown in jail for smoking a joint for 2 years, and I don't smoke. Somebody can go kill somebody drunk driving and be out in the street 6 months later. So please don't talk to me about voluntary and involuntary crap. Okay? The guy doesn't deserve a fair trial. You got to either lock him up and throw away the key, or you just get rid of him. See, my idea is you stick him in and let the fear of God be in him with all these hardened criminals who don't like 9-year-olds being killed. Just stick him in there. He'll be dead in 6 weeks, folks. We don't even have to mess with somebody pulling the doggone lever on him or lethal injection. Whatever it is that they decide to do, stick him in there. Stick him in there and let that happen. We'll never hear from him again. And it disgusts me and hurts me. And not only the congresswoman and the U.S. representative, Mrs. Giffords and her family and this 9-year-old and a federal judge and anybody involved. Guy doesn't deserve a fair trial, folks. So you can save that holier-than-thou, self-righteous bullshit for somebody who's buying it. Because do I believe in capital punishment? You damn right I do. Twice. How's that? We give a guy 3 life sentences. I don't know how you give a guy 160 years and think he's going to live. But we give a guy 3 life sentences, so I got a good idea. Let's not only put him to death, but let's do it twice. How's that? Guy doesn't deserve a fair trial. It's a waste. Our justice system is so screwed up anyway. Please don't give me the self-righteous crap, folks, that this guy, oh, maybe he's insane or he was raised wrong. Yeah, well, he's 22. Learn how to make your own decisions. We all screw up. Not that bad. So we'll get off that, but no, he doesn't deserve a fair trial. Eyewitnesses know it, handwritten notes. We're going to waste everybody's time. If you're not going to just get it over with now. To sports. I find it fascinating, and God bless those families in Arizona and anybody that's going through that suffering. It's terrible. Terrible. I got children, and like I said, you don't have to have children. And the family of this woman, I don't care what her beliefs were politically. Don't care. Don't care. God bless them all and hope that everything turns out. And God rest, I mean, I pity the guy who did it, and I won't call him by his name. Doesn't deserve it. I find it fascinating. Michael Vick has an MVP season. How many people, when he struggles and they lose, and he struggled, he didn't play a great game. I find it fascinating how many people revert right back to the karma and the rest of it. The hatred for Michael Vick, and I understand the hatred, but they blamed his struggles on that. Find it fascinating. Folks, Michael Vick ain't going anywhere. Hell of a football player. Whether you hate him or not for what he did, we've said it a million times on this. You got to respect the man's play on the field and the comeback. He got beat by a better football team and a better quarterback. Sorry, Philadelphia. He did. Aaron Rodgers is a better player. Aaron Rodgers proved again yesterday why he belongs in the Pro Bowl and why Aaron Rodgers should garner MVP votes. And I'm not so sure it's too far. I mean, Brady's the clear-cut winner. But if you don't put Aaron Rodgers, who got snubbed at the Pro Bowl, in your top 3 or 4 MVP candidates, then you're clueless about football. And the voters are ignorant. 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 And Michael Vick's going to get a huge payday.
But Aaron Rodgers was special. So let's start this thing, and we'll talk about this. We got to break down the BCS. And by the way, folks, anybody who thinks there's another MVP candidate in this league but Brady, when it comes right down to clear cut, if he doesn't get every first place vote, then the voters are just as clueless as sometimes I think they are. The Jets will be coming to town, and they got a chance to prove it again. But this is a regular season award. Let's start with the first game over the weekend, and we're going to hit that. We got coaching possibilities. John Fox is obviously going to interview with Denver. I love how Les Miles, the coach, say, no, not interested, not interested. There's a reason why University of Michigan has not hired their head football coach yet. And nobody talks about Carolina. Who are they going to hire? There's a reason the University of Michigan hasn't hired. The whispers of John Gruden. Again, no Mike Leach talk at all. And then now Les Miles, who was teammates with David Brandon, the CEO, when they were at Michigan. And no offense, I'm sorry, Wolverine fans, because I love the Wolverines. And I love the tradition, the big house, all that. And I understand going to where you played, you want to be a part of it. I would not leave LSU for the Michigan job. I would not leave LSU for the Michigan job. Sorry, would not do it. There's only a few programs in the country you'd leave LSU for. Now, I understand he went to Michigan, Midwest, and Les Miles wants to go coach at his alma mater. I understand all that. It's like me, it'd be like me going to coaching at USC instead of, you know, coaching at Oregon. I get it. Or take it out of SC instead of somewhere like Wisconsin, out of conference. I mean, he's leaving conference if he goes. And if Michigan makes him the right offer, he will leave. Les Miles will. There's something sneaky about Les Miles. Good football coach. Something sneaky about him. You know what's funny? And they call him the Mad Hatter. I'm not sure I trust him very much. Good football coach. There's something that's slithering about him. There just is. But I understand if his buddy's the athletic director and Michigan offers a job, I don't blame a guy for going. I'm just talking about on better programs. I wouldn't leave LSU for that program. I just wouldn't. As good as Michigan is. It's a hell of a program. If Nick Saban, I would never leave Alabama. There's not five better jobs in the whole United States in any sport than head coach at Alabama. Football town, people love you. LSU is almost in the same category. They're going to be in the national title hunt every year, going to get great recruits. There's no better place to play. Fans are amazing. You're the only show in Baton Rouge and the only show in New Orleans for the most part other than the Saints. For the most part, you're it. Michigan, same way. Michigan, matter of fact, I know you got the Detroit Lions, and they're coming on in basketball, but LSU, it's a better football team. Year in and year out, it's a better team. I don't know when Michigan's going to be in the national title hunt again, because if Les Miles goes there, they got to change everything around. Whoever gets the job at Michigan is going to have to change everything around again after Rich Rod's crazy, crazy offense, and I like Rich. But that's more off the charts than a spread offense that you'd put in a passing game. This is a running spread. The whole recruiting thing, there are going to be guys that are going to leave that school in 2 seconds flat because they don't fit in. So they're so far behind schedule. They're not even a top five team in the Big Ten right now. So why Les Miles would leave, the challenge, I guess, is because that's where he played. You want job security, LSU's pretty damn secure. LSU's pretty secure. The most underrated coach that took an ass-kicking in football this year is John Fox, folks. I think John Fox is one of the better all-around coaches we have in the league. But as I've always said, don't place too much importance on the coaching thing because you know what? No players, coach gets fired. Good players, coach stays. Great players, coach stays as long as he wants. There's a reason why Carolina got rid of John, wanted to change the rest of it. I got news for you. If Carolina would have been smart, they would have got rid of about three-quarters of their roster and started fresh from scratch and kept John Fox. If John Elway wants a really good coach in Denver, John Fox is the guy to get, and they will be an instant playoff contender if they get the right personnel. There's been talk that John is not a big fan, just the rumors, not a big fan of Tim Tebow. Does Tebow get traded and end up somewhere else? Tebow went to a team like Minnesota. He starts tomorrow.
You guys are going to be shocked. Tebow can play, folks. I'm telling you. I'll take a winner over a guy that may look good in a uniform throwing the ball down the field on a regular basis. But John Fox, obviously you got to win, and eventually when you don't win, they got to replace you. But I'm going to tell you what. Somebody asked me on Facebook, who are the best coaches available? Well, Dungy, but it doesn't sound like Tony's even interested in coming back right now. Brian Billick and John Fox. This is over and above Bill Cowher and John Gruden. He said, other than those two, which we are obvious, who are the next ones in line? And I think of all the coaches fired, I'm not sure John Fox isn't as good as any of them. And you may not think I know what I'm talking about, but when it comes to that, I do. And I know what he's about, and I know the respect that he has in this league. Sucky players equal coach get fired. You got to replace quarterbacks. You got to replace a whole bunch of people on that roster. More coaching talk. Will Les Miles, if they offered, you know damn well he's leaving LSU, which leaves an unbelievable job available. Incredible job available at LSU. People stand in line for that job. Guy like Bobby Petrino, who I'm not real fond of, he'd probably leave Arkansas tomorrow to go take that job. Leave his players hanging. What a great job if Miles leaves. Good gracious. LSU, whoever gets that job, call me. I'll come coach your quarterbacks, and I won't look back at any job. Be gone tomorrow. We're going to talk playoffs. Wow, Seattle. You got a chance at possibly, with another back-to-back performance like this weekend, you could actually be hosting the NFC Championship game. We're going to talk about the NFL and the games and why these teams lost and why quarterback and special teams are important. In every single game, for the most part, it all happened. Coming right back, this is Sean Salisbury. We're Voice America Sports. We're unfiltered, and you are too, with your calls and your emails. Right back in just 2 minutes.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
The Sports Maverick Show redefines the elite athlete by bridging the gap between parents, athletes, and the community. Host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, brings to the Voice America Network original programming, balancing the pursuit of academic excellence and sports participation. The Sports Maverick Show airs every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Listeners will be engaged in straightforward talk, spontaneous and unscripted by the experts. Ida and her guests will explore the challenges of success and failure in sports and will help athletes and their parents navigate the transition from high school, college, and then on to the pros. We put fun back into sports and recognize role models in sports through our Sports Mavericks All-Star Award Program. Tune in Tuesday evenings at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Ida Moyer and the Sports Maverick Show right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Get ready to talk sports with someone who definitely has an opinion, but respects yours as well. The beginning of every week is Crunch Time with Keenan Howery. We'll talk about what happened this weekend and what to look forward to next weekend. Keenan and his guests are ready to discuss the issues with you about football and sports in general. It's Crunch Time with Keenan Howery every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. And make your voice heard.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSauls@gmail.com. That's SeanSauls@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
All right. I'll leave this because in case the archives, I apologize deeply to people all over the country that can't get to our website or access archives or any of it. I hope I'm not just talking to a wall and there's four people listening. So we had problems with it last week. We'll try to fix it this week. Try to fix it now. So if the archives come up, just take it. Apologize for what's going on. I know it's happening all over the country. Don't know who's listening, but when you do listen, take our apologies for it. They're working on it, trying to get it fixed. It's irritating as all hell. Trust me, I get it. I'm going to waste my good shit on nobody that's listening and then have to repeat it to the people that actually are if there's a few of you that are. So trying to get it fixed. So, you know, those that are out there, if you have a friend that can't listen and you're listening, please post it up there that we're trying to get the thing fixed. So I appreciate it. We got a lot to talk about, but first we got a couple people hanging on the line. Let's get out to D-Man in Arizona. I think we got him up now. D-Man, how you doing? This is just a cluster of crap, so come on and tell me what you got going on, buddy.
Well, check it out. You got to talk about the Seattle Seahawks, so you're talking about a cluster right now. You know, Seattle's got the NFL all discombobulated, but I'll tell you this. Do you think Seattle wins that game if it's in New Orleans?
Seattle's one of the worst road teams in football, no. But you know what? I'm going to tell you, I put it this way. I don't think Seattle would have played that well in New Orleans. It makes sense?
Right.
I don't think they would have had that same rhythm or that same spirit and that same energy. I think it would have been different, yes. But I'll tell you what, any time a quarterback has to throw 60 times, and when you got another quarterback who comes off being injured the week before and plays as good, if not the best quarterback of the weekend, with the energy. Remember I said last week, D-Man, and you heard me say, I said, the big X factor is one, is two of them, if Seattle can, even though they got down 10-0, as long as they can hang in the first half and keep it close, they'll start to believe that they can win. And the second one is the fans. And the fans went haywire, as always, the loudest stadium around. And then what Seattle did is they started to believe, and I guess always did, that they could win.
Mm-hmm.
And New Orleans started to say, oh, my gosh. And when you looked at it, Seattle was able to throw it, run it, and New Orleans couldn't do squat with it running the football. They put it on Drew Brees' shoulders, and it wasn't enough. And as good as Brees threw for four Bills and 60 times, rarely are you going to throw 60 times and win a game. Rarely ever going to happen. Once you hit that 50 mark, look at the stats. There was only a couple, two or three times, I think, this year where a guy's thrown it 50 times, and they were able to win. So it's rarely going to happen. But I was so impressed. And you know what? Anybody out there other than a few Seahawks fans who prayed that it was going to happen, even the diehard Seahawks fans, it was false enthusiasm and it worked for them. But nobody believed that this was going to happen.
No.
Nobody.
No.
Nobody believed it was going to happen. But the Seahawks players somehow believed it was going to happen. And they were able to pull it off in an unbelievable fashion. Now, does lightning strike twice? Can they do this same thing on the road against, what, Atlanta? No, where do they go? They go to they'll be playing in Chicago, right?
Right, they go to Chicago.
Yeah, Green Bay goes
to Atlanta. I don't see it.
I don't know if they can pull it off. They played Chicago earlier this year, good, but I don't know if they can catch lightning in a bottle twice. But I'm gonna tell you what, for the time being, they played their ass off this past weekend.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's easy. That was an easy game for them to get up for. I mean, if you think about it, you had the entire nation, except for those in Seattle. But the entire nation, they just counted them out. They were horrible. You're horrible. You're horrible. So I guess if NFL players and professional athletes, if they get challenged like that, and they get challenged at home, and they get challenged with that 12th man that they obviously have in Seattle, there you have it. I mean, that was an easy game for them to get up for.
D-Man, there's no question. And you know what? Just a quick report, by the way, that there's a huge trade that's going to send Billups, Hamilton, Williams, White, and Anthony to the New Jersey Nets. The Nuggets get Favors, Devin Harris, Morrow, Roth, Graham, Uzo, and two first-round picks. And the Pistons get Murphy and Johan Petro. That's the reported proposed three-team trade. Now, hasn't gone down yet, but there's full rosters changing hands with the Nets and the Nuggets if that happens. So let's get back to football. We'll keep you abreast if that actually does happen. But getting Billups and Carmelo, if you're in the Nets, boy, you're doing somersaults. But back to this, D-Man, you're right. What did Seattle have to lose? Everybody in the world expected them to lose. They went out there and played great. They've already, and you know, what would you expect from a 7-9 team? I mean, they shouldn't have, I don't want to hear one Seattle fan or one Seattle player talk about they were disrespected. They earned the disrespect going into the playoffs. They earned it at 7-9. Now, they've got some respect back by the way they played lights out with that energy. But going into this playoff game, I don't want to hear, well, we were disrespected. You were disrespected because you sucked during the regular season. And you played your best football game at the right time. And as I said on Friday, it's like the NCAA tournament. You only got to win a couple and get hot for a couple. You may not be the best team. It's the hottest team who plays the best with the hottest quarterback that's going to get you where you're going. And that'll bear out in some of these other games we talk about.
Right. Okay, so we talked about the Packers going to the Super Bowl. They both of us have the Packers heading that way. Big game for them. Rodgers, gosh, this, you're talking about a guy that just keeps on doing it quietly, doesn't stir the pot, doesn't come out and say, me, look at me, but he just keeps getting it done, doesn't he?
Yeah, you know, D-Man, you know how I felt about him all year long. I believe he's going to win the MVP at some point in his career, maybe more than one. I do believe he's going to don a Super Bowl ring at some point because this is a team that, and you know what was impressive? How about Starks running for 100-plus yards, a rookie that's been you know, on the bench and on the sidelines most of the year, a huge difference. Not only Aaron Rodgers played lights out, but they ran the football far better than LeSean McCoy's Philadelphia team did.
And
then you've got a great quarterback who protects the football and throws with accuracy and is a great leader, and you're exactly right. Not a chest-pounding, nonsense, look at me, you are exactly right. You're exactly right. And that's what makes them dangerous. And they have the things you got to have. They got a little bit of attitude, but it's quiet attitude. They now ran the ball well. They've got a great pass rush, and I mean, they can blitz you, and they've got a great defensive player who can take over a game, more than one, and they've got an unbelievable quarterback. So, to me, I don't know how people out there can go by, once you get Brady, Manning, Breeze, maybe you want to throw Big Ben in there eventually, Matt. No offense to Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's not as good as Aaron Rodgers right now. Matt Ryan's where Aaron Rodgers was a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
He's a great player. But you can't put him in the top five yet. But I can damn well tell you, somebody out there want to argue with me over who the top five quarterbacks in the league, you leave Aaron Rodgers out, then you have absolutely no clue about how to judge that position. Because he's a top five quarterback in the league.
Easily.
And you throw Philip Rivers. My top five would be Roethlisberger, because he's not a great statistical guy, would probably be hanging around six. He knows how to win. But there's no doubt. It's Brady, Manning, Breeze, either way. I don't care how you shuffle the other four. Brady's clearly the best. Manning, Breeze, Rivers, and Rodgers are your next four quarterbacks. Yes, Rodgers is better than Michael Vick. Mike had a great year, but all around, he's a better player. And yes, he's a better player than Ben. He doesn't have it. Ben's had a better supporting cast, and Ben's a winner. But statistically, everything. Rodgers, in my opinion, if you had to start a franchise now, you'd take Rodgers over Roethlisberger. But he is in the top five with Matt Ryan and Roethlisberger hanging around 60. Those two guys are the very next group and not far behind. And you can make the argument for them. But there ain't no way anybody's going to tell me that Aaron Rodgers isn't a top five quarterback and a true bona fide superstar in this league.
You're right. Now, this is uncensored, right?
Dude, no, it's unfiltered.
Unfiltered. Okay.
Yeah. You say whatever you want, man. Just you could keep the F-bomb and the C-word out of it. Other than that, go. Have at it.
All right. This is what was proposed to me yesterday. If my girl's Green Bay Packers make it to the Super Bowl, I will get skull for 24 hours. Woo!
That was your girl said that?
Yes, baby. Yes, doggy. Come on now.
If you can get that for 24 hours, first of all, I got to give her the Hall of Fame. But if you can handle that for 24 hours, you deserve the same Hall of Fame.
Come on, man. I don't even care at this point, right? You just hang out, man. At this point,
dude. With that, at that point, you put your hands behind your head and kick back and enjoy.
That's like so I got to have all of your fans. Come on now. We got to root for the Green Bay Packers.
Of course you do. Well, at the beginning of the year, you got my vote. Well, heck, even if you didn't, you'd get it now. Good gracious. If that's being thrown out there on the table for all the cards, because that's truly all the cards on the table, among other things. But
there
I picked the Packers in August to go to the Super Bowl, and that was when Ryan Grant was healthy. But I can't change, so dude, I'm with you. Shoot, have a sandwich and a cigarette when you're done.
Okay, my man.
I appreciate that. I love you. Thank you. We'll catch up later, man.
All right, later.
Okay, appreciate it. Love him. Wow. He wants to know if it's unfiltered. Have at it, bud. What's the worst they got to do? Take your scholarship away because you said something? Take a hand slap it and move on. Wow. That's a tough offer to beat when the girl's offering that up. I love her. Do you have any friends? I'm kidding. is Anthony, I'm sure, is holding. So we're going to hold off because I know we're going to go to break in a second. So we'll let Anthony hold, and we'll get him because I know he's got a lot of takes on what's going on in the sports world. But Seattle played spectacular football. Hasselbeck, even with the numbers, clearly outplayed Drew Brees. Excuse me. Seattle can't. So, I mean, New Orleans couldn't run the football. And what did I tell you? Physical beats finesse. The Saints are not, I repeat, are not and have not been a physical team. They got punched smack dab in the face by the Seattle Seahawks, a 7-9 team that hammered them. And when it was 10-0, everybody, including me, was thinking, oh, here goes a blowout. And Seattle decided to fight back and responded, and Matt Hasselbeck played out his rear end. The best decision of the weekend was Pete Carroll's decision to start Hasselbeck over Whitehurst. And Matty, who's been to the Super Bowl, proved it. And this may be his last run, but if he wants to stay in Seattle, keep playing like this, and they'll redo his contract, I assure you that. Great performance by Seattle. Can it continue outdoors in Chicago, on the road, brutal weather, arrested Chicago team? There's something to be said for a wild card team that's hot. And do you realize we could be a week away from saying Seattle's hosting if Green Bay were able to beat Atlanta? Seattle could actually host the NFC Championship game? Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Green Bay's got their work cut out for them. And boy, does Seattle on Sunday at 1 Eastern, they play in Chicago. Will Chicago be ready? We're coming right back. This is Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
It's all Arizona, all over the world. If you're a local Arizona high school sports fan, or if you're a transplanted fan somewhere else in the world, have we got a show for you. The first internet sports radio talk show focusing solely on high school sports is The Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely. Tune in to talk about your favorite teams, players, or coaches. It's 100% Arizona high school sports coverage and a little bit more. Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, to the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Get ready to go inside the minds and behind the scenes with the top professional athletes, celebrities, and music entertainers. It's a sports show like no other.
Keeping it real.
Keeping it real with former NFL wide receiver Jairus McIntyre is real talk with in-depth interviews, topical discussions, and a whole lot of comedy. You'll hear from the entertainers, the athletes, and the fans.
Keeping it real.
Keeping it real with Jairus McIntyre is broadcast live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. The IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network. We talk about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and how to get more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk with their combined experience of 60 years in the woods. Brock and Don have traveled widely, creating TV shows and writing articles on hunting and fishing. Blessed with down-home humor, they're also well-versed in environmental concerns, firearms ownership, and animal rights issues. Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific Time to IS Outdoors with Brock Ray and Don Kirk, right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
High school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You're
locked in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSauls@gmail.com. That's SeanSauls@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
If you get a chance, post it on your Facebook wall or something. Let your friends know we're working on this to try and get it fixed all over the country to try and get it up so people can hear. Is Anthony there in New York?
You got me? Am I still on?
Yep, you're here, buddy. Sorry about that. Put it this way. It's Monday, kind of a rough Monday for some people, and so glad you're joining us. Can you hear it where you are? I take, or are you just calling because you couldn't hear it?
I called taking a chance that you were on, and you are, but I can't get it.
Okay, well, when you were on hold, could you hear what we were talking about, the Seahawks and what they did and how good Hasselbeck was? Regardless, so we'll repeat it again. Seahawks played out of their mind, and they're far more physical than the Saints. And when you throw it 60 times, Anthony, we've had this conversation about other quarterbacks don't fit. You just can't win. And anybody that talks about, well, the Seahawks were disrespected, no, they earned the disrespect in the regular season, being 7-9. They just picked the perfect time to play their very best football game in 2010, which is now 2011.
Yep.
They picked the very best time. Can they catch lightning in a bottle twice and go to Chicago on Sunday and win? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I give them a little bit better chance because momentum is an amazing thing.
Right.
But we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. So what's on your mind today? Yeah, I'm glad you took a chance, and yes, we are here, even though maybe you, me, and D-Man are the only three that are hearing it. What's going on?
Not too much. I have more reason to root for the Packers now. I have D-Man on my mind. I hope they can pull it off.
How about that? It makes you want to stand on your head and, well, no pun intended, but and wish that it works out for a lot of different reasons for that couple. Good for him. That'll renew your vows or your love for each other, won't it? what's on your sports mind, man?
Well, actually, you brought up that whole three team trade.
I knew that would get your. Why don't we just change franchises, man?
I remember I read about it over the weekend that it was possible, and now I'm reading more. The only thing that I think is going to stand in the way of that is Billups has already said he doesn't want to play there, and he'll ask them for a buyout because he wants to stay in Denver. And
now, isn't that interesting? Though, if you're in New Jersey, you're going to beg Chauncey, but you might even say, dude, we'll redo your contract.
Right.
We'll give you even more money. We'll give you whatever works under the cap and what we're allowed to do. This will be the best New Jersey. I mean, good gracious, it'll actually awaken people and say, wait a minute, not only are you getting Carmelo, but Billups at the same time?
Right. I think the one thing that's scaring Billups is the fact that, I don't know, what is he, 34, 35 years old
already?
Yeah,
he's in his mid-30s.
Yeah, so I think the thing is they're not moving to Brooklyn for another 2 years, and I'm going to tell you, Sean, you don't want to play in Jersey. I mean, no one goes to those games.
It's awful facility, isn't it?
What's that?
It's awful facility, too, right?
Well, they moved them over to where the Devils play, the Prudential
Center. That's right, the old one. What was the name of the old one? The
Meadowlands, there was the Izod Center.
Yeah, it was just one of those where nobody wanted to go. It wasn't a good place, you know what I'm saying?
It wasn't
a good place, and that's right, they did move them, but they're moving in, what, 2 years to Brooklyn, is that what you said?
Well, supposedly it's 2 years, who knows?
Okay.
They're taking forever here building
Billups,
the arena.
Billups may be
retired.
Have one more year after that.
Yeah, I mean, so the incentive for him to come here and play in front of 4,000 people, He why would he want to come here?
And when he's in a great sports town like Denver, where he grew up, where his hometown is.
Right, and he already said that he already wants a job in the front office once he retires with the Nuggets.
Right.
So I think I think ESPN's pushing this. I'm hoping the Knicks can jump in at some point to get Anthony because he's already said he wants to play here.
Do you think Phillips would change his mind if it was New York instead of New Jersey and playing in Madison Square Garden?
I absolutely think he would.
Can you imagine that? Now, think about this lineup. Now, I don't know if the Knicks would do it, but let's just assume that the Knicks decided they saw what the Nets were doing, saying, damn, we'll give up. There's only one untouchable on our team.
Right.
And so we'll keep Amare.
Yeah.
But we'll give up half our roster for, a couple first-round picks and Billups and Carmelo.
Right.
Now, you think about that with one of the great leaders. As a matter of fact, I could make the argument that Billups is as good a leader, if not the best leader in the NBA. Not the best player.
Yeah.
But, when you talk about top point guards, somehow he gets left out, but when you need a big shot, he makes it. and one of the great floor directors on the planet and one of the true great leaders. So if you had him running a point for you, and you had Amare getting some scoring relief from two guys that are capable of scoring between 28 and 30 a game every night.
Yep.
And I can argue that Carmelo Anthony, along with my guy in, why am I losing my mind, in Oklahoma City.
Durant?
Yeah, Kevin Durant.
Yes.
That is the best. Those are the two best, when I say offensive players. Now LeBron, I'm talking about pure offensive scorers.
Right.
They can shoot the jumper, get to the rim, make free throw, you know, all that.
Mm-hmm.
I can make the argument that Carmelo and Durant are the two best in basketball. And that includes Kobe, Wade. I mean, they can get shots anywhere on the floor. They can do all that. And when they get to the free throw line, they make it. So those two guys. So Billups, now doesn't Billups, Stoudemire, and this is just, I know this is wishful thinking for you right now, and Carmelo in New York, and I don't really care who you plug in at the other two positions, doesn't that instantly make them a major threat in the East again? For the first time in a long time?
Right. I mean, I think it does it, like, right away. I mean, you know, do they need Billups right now? I mean, with the way Raymond Felton's playing, probably not. But
again,
Raymond Felton.
And that's why the Billups thing, that's why New York would do it. You get a younger version of a guy who's a pretty damn good leader and comes from great teaching on the college level and is actually playing really and is unselfish. You kind of get it. When I say a mini version of Billups, it's kind of what it is.
Yeah, almost.
You know, kind of he's leading. He's not a loud talker. He does his thing. And when you mention the best point guards in the league, Felton doesn't get, you know, he doesn't get any love.
He's
for the most
like
part.
It, though.
And I understand why, but you know what? He keeps playing in New York and keeps setting this thing up, and they keep winning. Raymond Felton's going to be a household name in the NBA eventually.
Yeah, he's playing out of his mind, actually.
Sure is.
So, I mean, it's wishful thinking, you know, but we'll see what happens. I personally don't think this is going to go through, only because of the two reasons I just said. I can't see Carmelo signing a long-term extension and wanting to play in Newark for 2 years, and I can't see Billups wanting to come here.
And Billups, while Carmelo's the main player in the deal, Billups can actually be the main cog in not allowing it to happen.
Right, yeah.
And not allowing it to happen. And that'd be like, you know, you being in New York and all of a sudden somebody in, you know, if you're there, you, and all of a sudden somebody offers you a contract and, you know, in some place where you say, oh, my gosh, they're an awful team. Or an NFL team, you know, if you're Peyton Manning and all of a sudden the Carolina Panthers want you to come play quarterback, you know, it's one of those, for me, it'd be like, you know, I went to USC and now all of a sudden I'm going to go play at Occidental College. No, sorry. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, New Jersey, that's basically what it is right now. Now, if Billups and Carmelo showed up, there'd probably be a few more than 4,000 at the arena, at least early on.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, I think that Billups, I wouldn't want to leave my hometown.
Nope.
Where the second he walks off the court, you'd be crazy not to stick him in the front office or on the bench with you as a coach or a front office guy. You'd be crazy not to.
Mm-hmm. No.
But so I understand why Billups would say, are you out of your mind? Unless you guarantee me when my career's over in New Jersey that I come back and I got a job waiting for me, which they can do. But he got no shot to win an NBA title in New Jersey with or without Carmelo. Sorry.
No, he doesn't.
Ain't happening.
And then getting back to football, I want to talk about Saturday's games more so than yesterday's. Just chiming in on yesterday's, though, Baltimore kind of proved that, kind of showed Kansas City that, you know, Kansas City, while they were a good story, you know, they still need some more playmakers on offense. Their offense kind of relies on tricking you to death. You know, they can kind of beat an undisciplined defense, but, you know, but a team lines up with them and says, all right, you know, bring it, they can't.
And Baltimore lines up with you and says, here's what we do.
Right.
Dare you to stop it. And you know, they got the one big play from Jamal Charles, but Bo didn't touch the ball.
Which is,
You can't go into it. Your quarterback can't go for 70 yards and bust interception. And your best football player on offense, you can't not throw him the football. I mean, if you're going to go down, at least go down with your best player. I don't care how you get it to him.
Yes, exactly.
You got to get it to him. And they didn't do it. And that was just that was a beatdown from the start. And the better team won. Well, Kansas City had a hell of a year. They rely on what we called, you know, these, like you said, trick plays and formations, the dickums. You know, you try to dick a team and screw. You don't do that to Baltimore, because Baltimore just got to line up and say, really, you try to do that, we'll just hit you in the backfield. We'll knock your quarterback around. We'll give you coverages, and then we'll drive on the ball, and we make plays when the ball hits our hands. And that's what Baltimore does. And then Flacco was efficient. They ran the ball when they needed to, got good field position. And when you, like I said, quarterback can't throw three picks and 70 yards? You couldn't have beat Auburn or Oregon. Kansas City wouldn't have beat Auburn or Oregon on this weekend.
No. That was just awful. I mean, if you look, they even tried a flea flicker early in the game. It didn't work.
Baltimore's too – you know what? You're not going to fool the guys who –
who don't get. I mean, that you're talking about a bunch of, when it comes to football IQ.
Yes.
The Baltimore Ravens football IQ on defense is as good as any defense in football.
Exactly.
Period. Any time. I mean, you've got great leaders at, you know, the defensive line, the linebacking position, the secondary. Wherever you go, there's a guy who not only goes to the Pro Bowl, but is smarter than the next guy when it comes to football IQ.
Right.
And they are extremely bright. And if you notice, when do you see those guys? Now, people, you know, Jamaal Charles made the run, and that's how you got to beat him, catch him in a blitz or catching him out of his
right.
out of their gap. But when you, how often, honestly, Anthony, and you watch football every weekend, how often do you see the Baltimore Ravens beat themselves defensively and be out of position? Now, you may get a play on them, but
right.
the mentally, they don't get beat much mentally. They just don't.
No, they don't fall. It's weird because usually the over aggressive types of defenses, you can get them on a reverse every so often.
You do a lot of misdirection because teams that like to run and chase, you can get them, but the Ravens just don't seem to put themselves out of position.
No, they seem to hold their gaps really, really well, and it's just, you know, it, like, I don't think, like you said it on the show last week, they're not the 2000 Ravens, but it's, you know, they're still an above average, solid, stay at home, they're not going to beat themselves.
Well, here's the difference between they're not the 2000 Ravens and this one. While the Ravens' defense in 2000 was sick good,
right,
the offense was sick bad, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Aside from Todd Heap, and they really didn't have much. Now, you go to the Ravens, and they ran the football and they protected it, but you go to this team, while their defense isn't as good and a little longer in the tooth,
right.
Their offense, as far as with Ray Rice and Flacco and Bolden, and I mean, they're a far better offense.
Oh, yeah.
Than it's not even close. So what they lack, and they still, I mean, some of those guys are still on this, Ray's still on the team, so they can still dominate you defensively, but the difference is if the defense has an off game, the offense is good enough
to
beat you, and they've proven that. So that's a pretty good thing. That's the reason at the beginning of the year. Now, I don't know how anybody beats New England at home if New England's playing their best. But you know what?
Yeah.
You never know what can happen in single elimination. I picked Baltimore and Green Bay in August to win to go.
Right.
Now, after watching Baltimore, you say, well, they got a chance because they're physical, and as long as their quarterback plays good football.
Yes.
If I was a bet man, I'd have to bet New England. But I still got to stick with the picks that I went with. And Baltimore gives you a pretty damn good chance to win with her. And they also, how good Sam Cook, and their special teams too. That's the great deciding factor. They don't screw up punting it, and their field goal kicker kind of doesn't miss.
No, special teams.
You know, he's going to Pro Bowl. So that's where it comes down. If you're in a 3-point game, Baltimore's got a hell of an advantage.
Right, exactly. And then as far as yesterday's game goes too, I don't know if you watched the game, obviously.
Yep.
But and you brought it up. What has happened to Phil Simms as a commentator? He's kind of, have you noticed, like, there was the one play in the game where Nakamura, where he tried to lateral the ball and fumbled like an idiot, and Simms is saying, what a hit by Jamaal Charles, not even bringing up the fact that he was trying to lateral it. Like,
You know what, I can go on. There was one quote that Phil had in the game. Oh, he said, tall is an awesome talent. Who made the touch? Was it Bolden? Who made the touchdown catch in the back of the end zone that Flacco threw? Was it Bolden?
Hold on. That was Heap didn't do it, did he?
No. What's that? No, it wasn't Heap. It was a wide receiver. And I can't remember who it was. But he made the point. Maybe it was Heap. I can't remember who it was. If I look at the numbers, the statistics, I can tell you. But he said, and you know what? I hate to say this because I played against Phil. I know I'm not that old. Believe me, Phil was at the end of his career when I was in the middle of mine.
I like Phil Simms.
You know what? Of course you do. I mean, good gracious. I mean, and if you're a Giants fan and you look for great players and guys who were great leaders, talk about great leaders. Phil was obviously one of the great leaders we've ever had. Let me see here. The touchdown catch. Let me see receiving. Sorry about this. Let's see. Charles.
I should know it. I just.
I'm with you, dude. I believe me. Hoosh Mazada, 1 for 28. Mason, McGahee, Rice, Bolden. Oh, I think it was Anquan Bolden.
Okay, Bolden. Okay.
I think it was Bolden who made the touchdown catch. You know, Heap had 10 catches, but Bolden did have a touchdown catch. But Phil said, being tall is a great talent to have.
Right.
No, being tall is a great blessing, and it's a great advantage
over
a smaller DB. It's not being tall is not a talent. And
right.
You know what? I hate to say it because I love Phil.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, 5 years ago, I thought he was one of the best game analysts on the planet.
He was.
I mean, he made great points. I mean, he wouldn't have missed names. He wouldn't have missed. Phil's missed like just blatant calls that are. You know, like with referees' calls, and he's become Captain Obvious.
Yes.
And Captain Obvious on things that are obvious, but he's become Captain Unobvious because even on obvious calls, Phil's missing him.
Yeah.
Like you talk about, the hit and the fumble when he was obviously trying to hand it off. I mean,
right.
It's stuff that I'm thinking, wait a minute, is Phil, is he preparing as hard? Has he lost his focus? Mm-hmm. Is he just you know, becoming one dimension? I don't know, but I'm going to tell you this. And I, you know how some of these online voters, when they go and they still got Phil as one and Phil and Jim Nantz. I got to tell you, and I like Jim.
Right.
Because if it was me, I'd put Gus Johnson on the main. But I'm serious. In college basketball, there's no reason for Jim Nantz to be doing the NC2A finals.
No, you're right.
Jim is a pretty, you know, Jim's like Bob Costas. Great, 18th tower, good interview, soft-spoken, does it all. It's almost you have to fake the enthusiasm. And I've known Jim forever, and I've got to respect. He's been broadcaster of the year a number of times, all that.
Right.
But I got news for you. In the NC2A basketball, if Clark Kellogg and Gus Johnson doesn't get the contract to do the final, Nantz is the big hitter.
Yes.
But every player, Gus Johnson should be doing the NC2A Final Four. He is without question energetic. He takes the game. He does what Dick Vitale does for games that you think, well, is this any good? He can take it, and the players actually adjust their game. And you've heard players comment on, well, when Gus is there, that kind of gets them fired up. And
right,
it's the same
exactly.
with football. I don't know. I don't think the Nantz Sims team
right.
is anything but average anymore. And they Trey, I mean, Sims isn't even in Aikman's league when it comes to game analysts anymore.
No.
And I hate to say it because I do like Phil, but we're talking about the truth, and we're talking about unfiltered facts. And you hit it, man. And I've said this before. I don't enjoy listening to him anymore.
No. Like you said, I don't know if it's just being prepared. You get comfortable in your job and you just don't prepare as well as you used to. I don't know. But
it doesn't matter as much. I don't know. And, you know, Phil's always a preparation fanatic in there. And maybe I'm wrong, or maybe it's just, you know, getting too comfortable. I don't know. But I can tell you this. Phil, I can name three or four game analysts that are better than Phil right now and at his own network.
Right, exactly. Yeah, on CBS.
At his own network. So it's too bad. And you're right. I mean, it leaves you shaking your head sometimes when you're watching the broadcast.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not even close. Then you go ahead and watch. You go ahead and watch Buck and Aikman do the 4 o'clock game, and it's not even close. The
you listen to Aikman's comments; he doesn't miss much.
No,
he can get enthusiastic.
Right on.
You know, people that aren't Cowboy fans will you know may not like Troy, but if you're looking at it just from sheer game analysis, breaking it down, understanding coverage and how to break it down and teach it,
right?
Aikman, to me, there's not a better guy on NFL football. And that includes, you know, Jaws is Mr. Film Study guy, but just the way with their voice inflection, everything that goes on, I don't see anybody better than Aikman on as an analyst on TV. I just don't.
No, you're right.
Don't. Herb Street does a great job in college.
College, yeah.
But as far as NFL goes, it's gotten to the point now when you're looking at it how you can say that Aikman, I mean, you know, and I love John Madden.
Okay, well, of course.
I love John Madden, but you know what? The last 3 years or so of John's career. John didn't tell me anything.
Right.
He was there because he's John Madden, and damn good. I love him. And you love John because he's John. But and he's everybody's butt, you know, just bam. And you know, but when it came to just breaking a game down, he was as Captain Obvious as there was. Hall of Famer, one of the best of all time. But you know what? It's like a great quarterback. 10 years from now, Peyton Manning is going to be throwing touchdown passes.
Right.
And there comes a point in time that – when it's time to move on, and Aikman, in my opinion, is clearly the best analyst on all these games.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Clearly the best. So look ahead, and we'll talk about it more. Just off the top of your head right now, is there a chance that Seattle beats Chicago?
No, none.
None. You think Chicago is see, out of all the playoff teams, I mean, Kansas City, obviously, in the AFC was a little bit of a concern.
Right.
You didn't know which team was going to show up, but we saw which team showed up. Seattle was the obvious one that nobody gave a chance to go anywhere, so at least 11 teams you thought had a chance.
Yeah.
So will the Bears, Cutler, is there any – now, would you give Seattle a chance if they were playing at home?
More of a chance, yes.
But you say no way, just too much. They're not going to be able to play that good. There's a reason why they were 7-9 is basically what you're saying.
Yeah, and I just think that, you know, based on the way they played, you know, I just think the Saints – you know, the way they went in there, offensively, they were able to put up some points. But then if you look, I mean, I watched them play the previous week versus Tampa Bay, and I chalked up their awful defense to the fact that they weren't playing for much. But obviously, they just weren't that good on defense. That defense, watching the Saints play Saturday, especially in the secondary and tackling, I thought I was watching the Dallas Cowboys. That's exactly what between Darren Sharper, I think it's time for him. When Mike Williams runs by you and a guy who runs a 5-second 40, I think it's time to really wrap it up.
This will be Darren. Well, I mean, obviously the Saints think the same thing because Darren Sharper's coming off the bench now. A guy who led the league in interceptions or something, or had it 2 years ago and had a bunch last year, went right to the bench. So obviously, Darren's, and he's had a hell of a career.
Yeah,
but you're right, when you let a 6'5", 235-pound guy who had to make a comeback to get and be reunited with Pete Carroll to get on the field and he runs by you, it's time. But it's playing pitch and catch. And when somebody compares the secondary to the Dallas Cowboys, you damn well know it's not a good comparison.
No, that's what it reminded me of. It was awful.
You an average quarterback, and then Matt's not a don't misunderstand me. Matt, he's not an average player, but I mean, you could take a guy that's a backup. Charlie Whitehurst would have had a pretty good day against those guys. They're not good, and that you know what? For a team that won the Super Bowl last year and the Colts too, and I'll hit them as we go along.
Right,
the team that won the Super Bowl last year. The truth of the matter is they weren't even even close to being their same self this year.
No.
And that goes from the quarterback right on down.
Nope, they weren't.
As much as I like Reggie Bush. You know what? Reggie's a good great talent. He's a good player. He's never going to be a superstar running back in this league.
No, we spoke about it last week. I said that was the one guy for them to win had to have a huge game, and he just didn't.
And it was just Reggie's a good player, but a great talent, good player, and great talent, good player. Just you know what? He doesn't stick out anymore. How's that? Does that make sense?
Perfect sense.
Yep.
Exactly.
Anthony, I appreciate you, buddy. Chime in tomorrow. Always great having you on, my man. Have a good one.
All right, Sean, you too.
I appreciate it. And it's Voice America Sports. We are unfiltered. See you tomorrow at 9 Central right here on Voice America Sports. We'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks for tuning in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. We hope you'll come back weekdays at 10 a.m. in the East, 7 a.m. in the West on the Voice America Sports Channel. Take care.